Our Old Testament reading for this morning will come from Isaiah. We'll be reading from chapter 43 of the book of Isaiah. And we'll be reading from verses 1 through 7. It is found on page 623 of your pew Bibles. And at this time, let us listen to God's word for us. But now, thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in exchange for you. Because you are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you, I give men in return for you, peoples in exchange for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons and daughters from afar, and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Our New Testament reading will come from the book of Luke. It is found on page 891 of your pew Bibles. We'll be reading from Luke chapter 3, verses 15 through 22. And again, let us listen to God's word for us. As the people were in expectation, and all men questioned in their hearts concerning John whether perhaps he were the Christ, John answered them all, I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the thong of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. So with many other exhortations he preached good news to the people. But Herod the tetrarch, who had been reproved by him for Herodias his brother's wife and for all the evil things that Herod had done, added this to them all, that he shut up John in prison. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form as a dove, and a voice came from heaven, Thou art my beloved Son, with thee I am well pleased. It's the word of the Lord. Amen. Well, friends, today we celebrate the baptism of the Lord. The little baby Jesus that we were waiting on a few weeks ago has grown up. He is a grown man, about 30 years old, and he's about to strike out into the world to fulfill the mission that God had sent him to fulfill. But the first thing that he does is to go out to the Jordan Valley to be baptized by his cousin John. Almost all of the gospel writers include Jesus' baptism in their gospels. Only two gospel writers say anything about Jesus' birth, but all of them mention Jesus' baptism, which gives you an indication of how important they believe that Jesus' baptism is. Jesus' baptism as he was baptized by John the Baptist. We've already talked a little bit about John the Baptist during Advent when we were told that the word of the Lord came to John way out in the wilderness. It's important to understand what John was doing out in the wilderness. He was engaging in a little bit of theater, a little bit of political theater, you might say. He'd been inviting people to come down to the Jordan and to remember their story, to remember the foundational story of Israel. Remember how God had brought them through the wilderness. Remember how they had crossed the Jordan River, leaving one way of life behind to enter into a whole new way of life in the promised land. John is saying, remember that. Remember how God did all of that. Remember, because God is about to do it again. So get ready. Repent. Turn your lives around, because God is about to do something new. And it's in this climate of expectation that the gospel writers tell us that Jesus comes to take his place among those who are being baptized. He comes to take his place among sinners, among the broken, among the weary, among the unclean, among the disgraced, sinners all. He comes and he takes his place among them. He takes his place not because he needs to repent, but because he comes to be in solidarity with all of them and with all of us. He takes his place not because he needs a new beginning, but because he is the beginning. He is God's new beginning for the whole world. And it all begins, the gospel writers tell us, at his baptism. All the gospel writers want us to know that it's something that is crucial. And it wants us to know, they want us to know, that it is here at his baptism where Jesus is claimed and called by God. Luke tells us that after all the people had been baptized and after Jesus himself had been baptized, that he stood praying. And it was then that the heavens opened and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove, and then the voice, the divine voice, proclaiming, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." I'm sure that Jesus already knew that deep down inside of himself. I'm sure that he had heard it from his parents, Mary and Joseph, in their own acts of love and care for him. I'm sure that he had heard it every week when he went to the synagogue for prayer and study. I'm sure he heard it in those moments of solitude when he went away by himself to open scripture and heard God speaking through him, through God's word. But now, as he is about to strike out in his ministry, he hears it from God, God's self, from God's own voice. "You are my Son, the beloved. With you, I am well pleased." What wonderful words of affirmation that must have been for Jesus. What wonderful words to sustain him during the darkest and most difficult days of his ministry. He must have kept them close to his heart during those times when he and his message were rejected. He must have kept them close to his heart when people, including his own family, had thought he had gone mad. He must have kept them close to his heart when the religious leaders said that he did what he did through the power of Beelzebub, through the power of the devil. He must have kept them close to his heart while he was hanging on the cross, abandoned and humiliated. "You are my beloved. You belong to me. I am so proud of you. In you, I am well pleased." These words, of course, are not meant only for Jesus, but they are also meant for all of us. All of us who have been baptized. We Christians, unfortunately, are prone to fight over a lot of things. And we often fight over baptism and what it means. Sometimes we fight over how to do it. Should we immerse people fully in water? Or will pouring and sprinkling water over them suffice? We Presbyterians, of course, do it both ways. We sometimes dunk or immerse, and we sometimes sprinkle and pour water over one's head, because we believe that the important thing is not the dunking or the sprinkling, but the important thing is the water and what it symbolizes. The washing away of sins, rebirth, the new beginnings, dying and rising to Christ. So whether you've been dunked or whether you've been had water poured over your head, the most important thing is that you are a new creation. You are a new person in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Sometimes we fight over when to do it. Should we baptize people only when they are able to make a decision for Christ, or should we also baptize infants? We Presbyterians baptize infants because we believe that God calls us and lays claim to us long before we're able to make a decision for ourselves. The initiative of God's grace begins with God and not with us. Sometimes we assign too much weight to our ability to choose. Most of the identities that have been constructed for us are identities that have been chosen by other people for us. I was telling the Bible study group on Wednesday that I am an American citizen, and many of you are American citizens, not because we chose to be that, but because it was claimed for us. Our parents were American citizens, and the American government, the United States government, claimed us when we were just little bitty babies. We had no say-so with that whatsoever. We were claimed by that identity. And the same is true in the church. We are claimed by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ before we're able to make any kind of decision for ourselves. And so we baptize infants in recognition of the fact that it is God who chooses us and not the other way around. But the most important thing about baptism is not how we do it or when we do it. The most important thing about baptism is what we hear. And what we hear during our baptisms is that we are God's beloved. We are adopted sons and daughters of God, loved by God, claimed by God, called by God. I think that's one of the most difficult things for us to be able to take in, including those of us who've been baptized. To know that we have value and worth, not because we have all of our lives together, not because we have dotted all of our I's and crossed all of our T's, not because we have reached the pinnacle of success, but we are loved, we have worth and value because God loves us. Simply because God loves us and has found favor with us. Have you ever experienced that? Have you ever experienced someone saying they loved you just because of who you are? They love you because you are you? I think what we long for, all of us long for deep down inside, is to know that we are loved for who we are. Several months ago, I was reading about Cordell Broadus. He's a young man, an all-star high school football player who was recruited by UCLA as a wide receiver. Much acclaimed, very talented young man. His father was also the gangster rapper, Snoop Doggy Dogg. I know our choir is big fans of Snoop Doggy Dogg. But he was the son of Snoop Doggy Dogg, and his father loved football. But unfortunately, Cordell Broadus did not show up for practice at the beginning of the season. And people begin to wonder why. Why did this young man who was so talented not show up? And later he would say that he really didn't have a passion for football. I played football, he said, for my father because I thought that that was the only way that my father would love me and be a part of my life. But now I know that my Father does love me. And isn't that what we all want? To know that we are loved. And that's what we hear and learn when we are baptized. That God loves us. That we are God's beloved. That God wants to be a part of our lives. Each and every one of us, when we are baptized, are given a new name. We are given a new identity. We too are called God's beloved sons and God's beloved daughters. That's who we are. And that's important to remember because we live in a world where there are all kinds of names and identities that are fostered upon us. I've talked to people, maybe you have too, who've heard some of those names and have taken those names deep down inside of themselves. I've talked to people, some of them children, who've heard that they are stupid. It's one of the names that a young child said one day. That they believe that they are stupid. They've been told that all of their lives. I know some people who've been led to believe that their name is useless, that their lives don't amount to very much, that they're useless. I know some people who believe that their name is consumer, that all they exist for is to consume. I know women who believe that their name is sex object, that their only value in the world is to be sex objects for men. But when we, the baptized community, come to a place like this, we hear who we really are. We hear that we belong to God, that we are sons and daughters of God, that we are beloved by God and filled with the life-giving power of the Spirit of God to reflect God's glory in the midst of a troubled and confused world. You are God's beloved. And to say that we are God's beloved means a couple of things. First of all, it means that we are claimed. We have been claimed by God. We belong to God. We belong to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In life and in death, we belong to God. In sickness and in health, we belong to God. In good times and in bad times, we belong to God. We are God's beloved. We need to hear that in the midst of all the experiences that we undergo in life. We need to remember that we are God's beloved. That's difficult, of course, because we live in a world that would like to claim us. We live in a world that would like to own us. We live in a world that would like us to be defined by some aspect of the world. Some people would like themselves to be defined by their skin color. Some people would like to be defined by their nationality. Some people would like to be defined by how much money they make, or where they live, or what kind of car they drive, or the house that they live, or the quality of clothes that they wear, even the toothpaste that they use. But we are reminded that we're not owned by any of that. We are owned by God. We belong to God. We don't belong to those categories of the world. We belong to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are His beloved. And secondly, to be God's beloved means that we are all called. We are called not for our own sakes, but we are called for the sake of the world. We have been called not only to proclaim the good news of God's mercy, but we have been called out to be the agents of God's healing. We've been called to be the agents of God's caring. We've been called to be the agents of God's righteousness for the sake of the world. Just as Jesus was called for the sake of the world. Today we ordained and installed our officers, our elders, and our deacons. And many of them will be doing a lot of the heavy lifting around this place in terms of leading this congregation. But we are reminded that they are not alone, that the work of the church does not rest upon their shoulders alone, that we have all been baptized. We have all been called. We are all God's people. And we are called to go out into the world to proclaim the goodness of God and the love of God and the healing of God for the sake of the world. The late Henry Nouwen, who was a Catholic priest, once described the life of the beloved in terms of Jesus' actions at the Last Supper. He reminded us that when Jesus was at the Last Supper, he chose the loaf of bread and he blessed it and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples. And as God's beloved sons and daughters, we have been chosen by God to be God's servant people for the sake of the world. As God's chosen people, we have been blessed to become, through Christ, sons and daughters and heirs of the promise of God. None of us are perfect. We have all been broken in many, many ways. We carry with us our pain, the pain of our experiences, the pain of our inadequacies, the pain of all of our shortcomings, but God's power, we are reminded, is made perfect in our brokenness, in our weaknesses. So we have been chosen. We have been blessed. We are broken. But it is by offering up our own brokenness to God and our own brokenness for the sake of the world that we begin to live into what it means to be God's beloved. You are God's beloved. Live in to that identity. Claim that identity. Know that identity for yourself. This morning we have all been called out into the wilderness. This morning we've all been called to remember our story, to remember who we are, to remember how God brought all of us through the waters of baptism, to remember how we left an old way of life behind in order to embark upon a whole new way of life, a whole new adventure, a whole new journey as God's beloved. You are God's beloved. You are sons and daughters of God. You are the people that God loves deep down in the depth of God's being. Take that identity out into the world. For the world's healing, for the world's peace, for the reconciliation of the world, so that the light of life and the light of Christ may shine in us and shine in all that we do. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, you have reminded us that together we are the body of Christ. And while you have called us to different roles and functions within the body, we are reminded that we all belong to you, that we are all your sons and daughters, that we are all loved by you and claimed by you and called by you to do your work in the world. be with us as we go forward into this new year. Continue to be with us in all that we do. Be with our officers, our leaders, our elders, our deacons, and be with each and every one of us as we seek to live out our vocation as your beloved people. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.